Good evening. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus, the 8th chapter. Exodus, the 8th chapter. We have been looking the last few times that I've had the opportunity to speak to you on Sunday nights. We've been looking at Moses, God calling him. Him coming up with every excuse under the sun why he wasn't the one to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. We've looked at the last, I think it was last week, that Exodus 7, where God put the first plague on Egypt. That was where the rivers were turned to blood. It's interesting how water and the rivers, the Nile River and the river systems in Egypt literally was its life source. Everything, especially in that environment, came from the water. Moses was actually saved at birth by being cast into the river. In a basket. His life was preserved there. He will lead the Israelites through that river on their way to safety, on their way out of bondage. It's just interesting how many things will tie together with not only water, but that river. The river, the Red Sea, everything right there around Egypt. And then that first plague, turning the water to blood. It was a plague to the Egyptians. Blood is what's going to save the Israelites. As we will look at later on with the Passover, how the Israelites were to put the blood on their doorposts and so forth, and the angel of the Lord would pass them over. Blood would save the Israelites. Blood saves us today, the blood of Christ. But it just, all of those things go through my mind, and when I'm reading God's word, it just, I look at the connections and all that. But we're in Exodus 8 today, and we're going to see the second plague, that of frogs. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me.'" This is the same statement. One thing I like about the Old Testament, we see the nature of God. God has not changed his approach. He tells Moses, go to Pharaoh and say this. I think of little Milo. I think of when I was a child. I think of when my son was a child. When you're raising them and training the children to do something. I don't know if you noticed how well Milo's got me trained. He throws his toy down, I lean down, pick it up. I throw it, he throws it down, I pick it up. He's got me trained pretty good already. But when we're telling our kids, I can remember Stacy and I, to get Bobby to do something, he would maybe throw something down, pick it up, and then maybe a little slot, pick it up, and then throw it down. Pick it up. Pick it up. That's what God does. Go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord. It's not coming from Moses. It's coming from God. Let my people go. We're not talking about a real complicated concept here. Let my people, they're my people. You've had them enslaved. They're my people. Let my people go. Why? That they may serve me. The reason They're in Egypt for you is to serve you for personal benefits. I want them for spiritual. Let my people go. And God does not relent. Does not back down. Does not change his what he wants. Who's going to be more hard-headed? I remember being with Bobby, thinking, buddy, I'm more hard-headed than you are. You're going to pick, you know, whatever it was. You're going to do that. I've got all the time in the world. You're going to get tired of it. Let my people go. Then it says, but if you refuse to let them go, there are consequences. There was, for the people that didn't do what God said then, just like there was in the garden, just like there are now. With God, it doesn't matter. There are consequences. God never requires something I've noticed in the Bible. God's never required anything of people that he didn't already tell them ahead of time. He's not asking them and holding them accountable for something he didn't tell them about. God's telling Pharaoh, but if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. You think you've seen frogs before? You think you don't like frogs when you go to the river and that they're all over? Wait till I get done with you. There's going to be frogs everywhere, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come upon you, on your people, and on all your servants. I find it interesting that God can show his power, in simple ways like this. It doesn't take fire and brimstone. It doesn't take earthquakes and earth-shattering big things. He can do it with frogs. With frogs. Then I started thinking about, what is it about frogs? It's not like they're going to eat you. No, they're not like lions. They stink. Can you imagine how many of them there would be? First of all, they bring salmonella. It's going to cause sickness. They're slimy. They're stinky. The noise would drive you nuts. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. When I read that the first time, it dawned on me, why would the magicians want to? Talk about cutting your nose off to spite your face. Haven't you done that before? Or have known people like that? That literally, they will stick to their guns on some, even if it's detrimental. The magicians that replicated, you know, when Aaron threw the staff down and it turned into a snake. turned into a serpent, and then they did it. Okay, I can see that. Of course, there's snakes were eaten up by the rod that Aaron threw down. Here, as bad as it would have been to have frogs all over the place, okay, the magicians of Egypt, now it's your turn. They did it. Why would you want to on something like that? Just out of spite, refusing to yield and bow to God. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord." And Moses said to Pharaoh, "Accept the honor of saying, when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only." And in verse 10, "So we said, tomorrow." How many times do people do that? "I will do something tomorrow. I will sleep with the frogs one more night." We do that with sin. We do. How many times have people heard the word of God? "I'll be baptized later." Felix did it in Acts 25. Paul is preaching to Felix, and he says, "Go away. I will call on you when I have a more convenient time." Pharaoh said, "Tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. I'll sleep with the frogs one more night." People do that with sin. People do that with turning to God. "I'll change my life tomorrow." We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We've had, you know, sermons about that. We've looked at God's word. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And then it goes back into Moses' court. And he said, "Let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain in the river only." Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Talk about a hard heart. And isn't this human nature? "I will change tomorrow." And then tomorrow comes, "I think I'll just stay with what I'm doing." And that's exactly what Pharaoh did, just like the Lord had said he would. Now we get to the third plague. Verse 16. "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt.' And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice." Again, I don't get it. Why? Why would you even want to do that? Pride, spite, just being stiff-necked. We're going to stick to our guns no matter what? And even bring upon worse things. Now, the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord said. That would have driven me nuts. The lice all over you. And they live by, they're kind of like mosquitoes. They suck on your blood. That's what lice do. And they're all over you. The itching, it is, everything I've heard is uncontrollable itching. And it's everywhere. As he turned the dust to lice. Now he brings the fourth plague. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people.'" God has always done that. God has always set a difference between his people. And it's been obvious. Today, there's a difference between us and the world. It should be obvious. We have better lives. I don't know how people survive. Life's tough. It really is. Life's tough. I don't see how people make it without God. And God makes a difference. And he goes on to say, at the end of verse 23, "Tomorrow this sign shall be. And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, 'Go sacrifice to your God in the land.'" He's starting to yield a little bit. Go and sacrifice, but you got to stay here. You want to go sacrifice? Go sacrifice, but stay here. And Moses said, "It is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us." That's obeying God right there. God told them what to do and how to do it. They got a chance. And I'm sure there was, you know, some people, "Well, wouldn't it be, you know, can't we just get the job done staying here and doing it?" God knows. Moses would not do it that way. He did it the way God wanted. And that was the only acceptable way. God, if they would have sacrificed there in Egypt, God wouldn't have accepted it. Moses saw it would be an abomination to have done that, because it wasn't the way God wanted. So Pharaoh said, verse 28, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far. Intercede for me. I will let you go. Please intercede for God. It's amazing. Flies got to him. Flies. Not lions, tigers, all that stuff. Flies. Do you imagine flies, all of that? I hate that. Verse 29, then Moses said, indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. This account is the story of the world and God's people in a nutshell. It is a microcosm of time and eternity. God does not relent on what he wants done. And we have to do it that way. And when we reject God's word, when we don't do it the way he wants, we're not pleasing to God. And we need to make sure, we as individuals need to make sure we don't follow the path of Pharaoh, hardening our heart against doing what God wants, having chance after chance after chance, and not doing what God wanted, having the opportunity to serve God because he had told us what to do. I get great encouragement from these stories in the Old Testament, these accounts of real people that haven't changed over time. The story has been the same from the garden to us today. The lesson is yours. Next time I have the opportunity, we're going to look at Exodus 9, continuing with the plagues. In my mind, I just, everything I knew growing up about Moses and Pharaoh and stuff came from the Charlton Heston movie. I still picture, you know, Pharaoh looking like Yul Brynner. But we have to look at God's word. And we will do that next time. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to repent of sin, if you need prayers of the congregation, I think if there's anybody in here that has not been baptized, we have that opportunity. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known while Curtis leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand and sing.